there's peace definitely after the storm. I think people have felt that peace. God is good, and most people in here have been spared, but others have not. And so obviously we're praying for them and for God's protection on them. I just want you to think and recount this morning in Team Rally, we recounted the amount of times that something was coming this way and it shifted. So there is something about this bay, this Tampa Bay, that God has his hand on this. And we don't take that lightly. We thank God for his protection and know that God still has something for this state. He still has something for this nation. God has not abandoned this nation. He has not abandoned this world. And so he's coming back, and he's coming back quickly. And you can tell there's a lot of shifting that's taking place. Things are happening more rapidly as people are getting in positions. There are people in church today you probably never thought would be in church, as God's getting people ready. And so I want you just to be just poised for that, because I believe God's getting ready to do something. He is doing something. And when it does break, you want to be ready. The time to prepare is now. It's not when it breaks. Because when it breaks, you're scrambling for stuff. I was one of the ones who were at Helen Haworth early in the morning at about 7:30 getting bags of dirt. But I'm telling you what, I got up that day and said, I'm going, because I know what's about to happen. Sure enough, the next day and a half, there were cars lined up all the way out 49th, that little corridor between 49th and 66th off 94th, all day. But we got in early because we knew something was about to happen or could happen. That's your mentality. You don't wait. It doesn't matter how you feel. Well, I don't feel like serving God because, you know, if it does, something might happen, but if it does happen, I'll just get ready when it does happen. It's too late. When the trumpet sounds, it's too late. Right. It's not Jesus, forgive me, and he forgives you. It's too late. People have that mindset. Well, I got time. You don't have the time you think you have. So when it comes knocking on your door, you better be ready. Bags packed, sin forgiven, heart ready. Well, let me get ready. No, that's why Jesus told his disciples and those in the Bible that wanted to follow him. He said, listen, let the dead bury their own dead. Just come on with me. Just stop. There are many people just drop stuff and said, okay, we'll go. Jesus wasn't waiting for them to get ready. He came where they were at and said, follow me. It wasn't a debate where it was, hey, listen, I have a suggestion for you. I really would love for you to follow me. It wasn't that. And we get in this mindset today where it's like Jesus is like having a conversation. He's debating with us, and it's like a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. Follow me. Make disciples. Go into all the world. Be ready. Occupy. There's not a passivity in the voice. But we fall into that mindset. Well, I'll get ready. Well, it's here. It's here. Because if anything that storms do teach you is that you prepare beforehand, because it comes quicker than you think and it can change quicker than you think. Quicker. Oh, don't worry. It's coming. No, guess what? It's coming faster than you think. Your blessing is coming faster than you think. Faster. Your deliverance is coming faster than you think. Get ready now, because when it comes, you may not know what to do with it. Because when God blesses, everything gets blessed. Everything gets blessed. It's not just one thing. So that's why he takes the time to get you ready and urges you to get ready, because when he's about to do it, there's so much of an overflow that takes place that everybody else around you gets blessed because of it, and it requires more of you, and you have to hold what that blessing actually entails, because it's not just about you. It's about what God's doing around you. That's why we implore you to get ready. Do what you can to sharpen your skills, get your heart right, allow God to stretch you, because when God does bless you, it's going to be bigger than you think. It's not just, haven't you got there yet? Not just about you. All the stuff you've been through is not just about you. There's a world who needs what you have. And if we can't get to that point, we'll always think that it's just about me and what I'm going through. And it's a lie from the enemy to get you stuck there. It's just about me and what I'm going through. Tell him to shut up. Change your mindset. It's not just about me. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son. God loves the whole world, and because he loves the whole world, he's doing something in you that's going to affect the world. It's always bigger than you think. That's why when you get up on Sunday morning, sometimes it's such a fight to come to church. Just come to church. You ever notice that? Sunday, why am I upset? It's 10:35 and I'm just, I don't know. I know that when I get up on Sunday, guess what? The enemy's going to speak in my ear. He's going to say to me, you know, today's going to be one of those days, isn't it? Yeah, you know what? Guess what? I'm getting up. I'm going to do what I have to do. I'm going to get here at my time when no one else is here. Get everything ready because I know that God said, be faithful and I'll be faithful to you. There's no debate. No debate. Yeah, I may not feel like doing it, but guess what? I do it. Because you never know that one Sunday could be the day that God breaks things open and all of a sudden the Spirit of God gets poured out. You get healed, delivered, something happens supernaturally, and you miss it because you decided, I just don't feel like going, and you miss it. I want you to think about this perspective. It could be the very thing that God's waiting on you to change your mind about, even when it comes to your job. You know, I don't feel like going to work today. I'm going to call in sick. That could be the day they walk in and say, hey, listen, I see what you've been doing. And I tell you, I don't know something about you, but ready to promote you. We got something for you that we want you to do. It's a pilot program, but because we think you can do it, we want you to do it. That could be the day you call in sick, and guess what? Bob gets a promotion, and you find out later, my God, that was the day I got up with a headache, and I said, no, I'm just going to stay home. Because you let your body tell you what you can do. If we can't learn to win mentally, we're not going to win. There is such a battle. There is such a battle when it comes to your head that your head will take you out of most opportunities that God has given you. Because what we do is that we think the opportunities are supposed to be presented like a gift that's wrapped nicely. And often the opportunities are not presented like that. They're presented a little bit raw and requires you to do something in order to be promoted. Well, Lord, I want to be blessed, but don't ask me to suffer and don't ask me to go anything too difficult because if I do, I don't know what it's going to do. And God said, well, if you just get into that process, I'll help you get promoted. But what we don't do is that we don't really get in the process because we don't really want promotion. We don't want promotion. Yeah, you want to be elevated. You don't want to be promoted. That's different. There are different levels that God takes you through in order to get you to the next place. Promotion requires pain. If you want to be promoted, check your pain tolerance. Every time God's getting ready to do something in your life, it's going to require some element of pain. I don't care what you say. I look at the cross. It requires some element of pain in order for him to be qualified to sit down next to his Father. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the what? Cross, despising the what? Shame. And he got to sit down next to his Father. Why am I talking about this? Because we have a lot of people tapping out when it comes to pain. And they don't realize that that is the way God promotes you. I thought it was just about me saying some things about Jesus, and all of a sudden he comes down and I feel it and then I'm promoted. I don't know who told you that. That's just. It's the reason why this month I wanted to go into the series called As It Is in Heaven, because I wanted to give us a perspective of how Jesus taught us to pray. He didn't teach us to pray so that we can get what we needed so that we can do just what we want. There was a system and how he wanted you to pray. It has nothing to do with how long you pray or how good you think you pray. Jesus said this. Let's take a look at it. Luke chapter 11, verses 1. Through 4, it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples spoke to him. Lord, he said, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Jesus said to them, when you pray, this is what you should say. Father, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Keep us from falling into sin when we are tempted. First thing God said, or Jesus said, was first thing you got to do is exalt God. Off the bat, you have to know that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are not in control. And I love when God does this because he reminds us the first thing you need to do is exalt me above yourself, exalt me above your circumstances and above your needs. Know that I am the one who's in charge. Because what we do, and let's just be honest in here, what we do is sometimes we go right to the need. Lord, I need it. Lord, you know what I need. Lord, give me, I need it now. And if we would just transcend the need and say, I look to you because you're the need meter, and I look above what I need to the one who actually can give me what I need, things would have a tendency to change because your perspective would change. There are things in my life that have not changed, but my perspective changed in the way I looked at it because I knew who was above it. Because the way we look at things from a natural perspective and what we can see and what we can, quote, control. God says if you look at it from a different perspective, supernaturally, you'll know that I'm in control. And if you exalt me above it, you'll see differently. There are things that God has helped me get over just by shifting my gaze. And I realized that when I saw God was in it, it changed the way I looked at it. And I said, I can keep moving. Because God has been in it the whole time. And if you would just get that perspective and see that God has been in it the whole time, it would change what you ask him for. It would change how you ask him. And you would be okay with his response. Because if I'm going to ask God and I'm going to exalt God in my circumstances, that says to me that my circumstances are not going to be the way I want them to be all the time, but I can exalt him above it and he'll give me the grace to stay in it. What do you think that we've talked so many times over the last several months about being yoked and getting up under a yoke? Because God said, I will bless you if you do what I've asked you to do and you submit. Sometimes what we don't do is we don't submit to the circumstance. And God said, I want you to submit to what you're in because I actually want to teach you something in it. I'm big enough to get you out of what you're in, but I'm also big enough to keep you in what you're in because I want to teach you something about me. Lord, get me out. No, I'm coming in. Nope. I'm coming in. And come on, you know as well as I do, you're better because God has kept you in stuff. That's right. Yeah. It didn't just take you out right away. You look better. You smell better. There are things about you that are different now because God kept you in and didn't just take you out because you were perfected in the process and God didn't just answer your prayer just to deliver you when you wanted it to be done. Be honest. Be honest about it. Come on now. You didn't like it. But you're tougher now, you're stronger now because God got in and he was able to do what he could do because you exalted him above what you were feeling. You exalted him above the pain. You exalted him above the circumstance and then said, Lord, if you don't do it, it's not going to happen. And then God said, now we can get somewhere because you recognize that I am that I am. And you have to be like some people when they read the Bible, because a lot of people when they read the Bible, they take it literally. And when they read the Bible, they say, I can never go through something that person went through because it was just too difficult. Number one, you're not God. Number two, you're not them. And number three, the grace that God used during that time is not going to be the same grace God's going to use with you to help you get through what you need to get through. So don't compare graces. That's why a lot of people have a hard time with God in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It was different graces. I can never live there. God didn't call you to live there. And what we do is we compartmentalize God into two parts. And we say, well, he was mean then, but man, he's a God of grace now. I like this one. But he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. We just live in a different dispensation of grace. We have the Holy Spirit now who is a teacher and is a comforter and guides us in all truth. Doesn't mean he's not the same God. He is the same God, but he's doing something new. He's not going to repeat what he did. Well, what do you mean? He's faithful, but the way he does it changes. Because you can't box him in. That's why I exalt God, because I'm exalting someone who far transcends above my ability to reason, control, figure out. And so I exalt him because he's so far superior in what he does that he's worthy to be praised. There is none like you. Who can make the dead man raise? Only God can. Who can change your circumstance and bring healing to your past so that you can be free today and so that you can have a hope and a future? Only God can. Who can go back and fix something so that you're better today? Only God can. Who can make a lame man walk? Only God can. Who can make the deaf hear? Only God can. Who can make the blind see? Only God can. Who can take you from where you were at, heal you, deliver you so that you can stand strong and declare the goodness of God? Only God can. Who can put a song in your mouth when you're down or discouraged? Only God can. Who can lift you above your circumstances? Only God can. Who can tell the enemy he has to go? Only God can. Who is the only God can? Only God. Only God. Who can stop the mouth of the lion? Only God. That's why I worship God. I don't exalt you. I exalt God. And when I exalt God, things change. And my perspective changes. And so when I exalt him and I see who he is, the way I look at things change, so be it. Suffering comes, so be it. Emotions that are erratic come, so be it. You leave, so be it. Some of y'all aren't there yet. You're like, well, hold on. Not that one. That's like a, hold on, come back. You had me and the other one was good, but when you talk about abandonment, now we got a problem. And that speaks to something deeper. Because if I can't exalt them when they come, and I can't exalt them when they go, I'll be stuck exalting myself like I'm some sort of God who has control. And I don't. You know, God never asked you to control something. What he did ask you to control is, what he did say is have self-control. You ever think about that? I don't see anywhere it says, well, he did say control your tongue, but then he said you can't. So who can do it? Can't do that either, so. So control is an illusion, but he says have self-control. Why does he say that? Because your circumstances are going to threaten your stability. But if you exalt me in the midst of it, I'll give you soundness of mind so that you can stay in it. But if you don't, you'll be erratic just like everybody else is, and you'll bail. But God said, I'm not looking for you to bail. I'm looking for you to if you just exalt him now where you're at, God will lift you up. Isn't it the reason why in the Bible where it says he's looking for worshipers that worship in spirit and in truth? I'm looking for people who we have a connection on a deeper level, not just some surface connection. It's not just mouth service, but there's something going on in your spirit that connects with God, but also you worship in truth. You are worthy to be praised. Why is there a fight over worship? Because you are exalting God above all. And the enemy tries to get in and bring distraction and confusion to help you to look on your circumstances and not God. And then you begin to regress and say, you probably can't do it. It's too much. It's too much. And it's just too much. Lord, I'm too far gone. I'm too far gone. There's no hope for me. There's no hope. Use somebody else. I don't have what it takes. All the stuff plays in your head. Ever notice that stuff plays in your head during worship? Sometimes. Or especially when you get up in the morning, first thing, because first thing you're supposed to do is exalt God. First thing that comes to your mind isn't exalt God, it's what the just happened sometimes. And ever notice on a Monday, or you wake up on an off day and you will be assaulted with thoughts? You had a great day yesterday, but not today. And you are tested on the very day that you had yesterday because the enemy wants to try to knock you off your perch. You ever notice that stuff comes out and all of a sudden you're waking up, you feel good, you feel the presence, you feel peace. And all of a sudden you wake up and all of a sudden you start hearing the chatter in your mouth and even in your ear. And the enemy's speaking to you about stuff that's happened in your life. You better know, exalt God. Well, we just had a good day. Yeah, you did, but that was yesterday. This today is today. Exalt God. I'm lifting you up, Lord. I know that happened, but guess what? I lift you up. Thank you. You're the glory and lifter of my head. Thank you, Jesus, that today is the day you have made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord, that my past doesn't define me. Thank you, Lord, that I have a future in you. Thank you, God, that that does not affect me whatsoever. You can whisper all you want, but that doesn't affect me whatsoever. Guess what? Because I know whose I am. You got to beat it. How do you beat it? Exalt God. Because when you worship, it's a weapon. The weapons we fight with are not carnal, but they're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. A stronghold is something that we hide in, a safe place, quote, that we think is safe in order to escape reality, but it is not. And so what we do is that we hide thinking that, well, I'm going to hide in this place because it's safe, and it's not. It brings you into bondage so that you can't be free and express to God who he is to you. I want you to think back over your life, the times that you felt like you were bound by something. And if that's freedom, it's not. Because you've hidden in that place thinking that nothing can get to you. But the problem is that you can't get out. And until you change your gaze and perspective and exalt God and begin to see that this is not a natural thing, this is a spiritual thing. And when I exalt God spiritually, all of a sudden things begin to break. That's why things happen during worship that don't happen during other parts. Because something happens in the spirit when we begin to worship God because we're connecting with him on his level. God knows that you needed that weapon. The enemy knows that you need it too. That's why when God drops a song in your heart, you need to be rehearsing that thing and singing that thing wherever you go. God drops it, you'd all be saying, worthy? You just, this week, wherever, just drop it. Lord, you start singing it. Why? Because something's coming. It's coming. You need to sing it now because it's going to change your perspective because the enemy is right on the other side just waiting. Once he lets his guard down, childhood, abuse, molested. Remember? 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 When he left you, remember when he hits you. Boom, boom, boom. That's why I told you to start worshiping last week because it's coming. Don't think it's not coming. God's setting you up to win. The enemy's on the other side just waiting to pounce because you're up, you're rising, you're doing good. He sees it. Oh, they got some traction now. They got some confidence. Guess what? And he's waiting on the other side. He's waiting on the other side just to jump in. And God's telling you, just keep singing because he's coming. And when he does come, turn and tell him who he is. Turn and do it. He's coming. He's coming. It's believe me, he's coming. That's why coaches prepare you. Guess what? That's why football's only once a week. It has to be. It has to be. There's so much going on in one game. Your body can only take so much. Mentally, you can only take so much. And emotionally, you can only take so much. Because you have to be engaged at every moment. Because you don't know what's coming from your right or what's coming from your left. And if you are not engaged, your career can be ruined. Even when you are engaged, you can be knocked out. And I want you to think about that even in your life spiritually. If you are not engaged and you are not in, the enemy can come in and start taking your feet out from you. Even when you are engaged, he still tries. But at least when you are engaged, it's better. don't care what you say. It's coming whether you want it to come or not. How much you praise, how much you don't praise, it doesn't matter. It's coming. I'm just trying to help you just get to the point in your life where you have a mindset that exalts God. I'm just exalting God. It hurts, but he's good. I don't understand it, but he's good. But guess what? Something's working in me that has not been working any other time or any other place in my life, but something's working in me now. And what God has given me, it's working. And I'm just going to work it because he tries to do something, but it's not working. Why? Because I know who's in me. And anything he does, it's working for my good. Why? I'm exalting God. Why? He said all things work together for the good of them to love God who are called according to his purpose. The danger is if you're not saved. You don't know you're called. You're trying to do life without God. It's not working for you. That's why most people come to God under duress. It's not working. And God said, I know. I'm drawing you in. All things work together. All things do. And if you can think like that, you'll engage what you have to engage. Whether you want the game of life to come this week or not, it's coming. Whether you can't stop it. You can try to board up your house. You can try to put sandbags all where you need it. There's going to be a crack somewhere. Something's going to get in. You just have to know who God is. You have to know how to exalt him and know that worship is your weapon because you are in a spiritual fight, not a natural one. Second thing, praise breaks. You want things to break in your life? Start worshiping Jesus. You want the heaviness to go? Start lifting up your voice. If you're more influenced by what you hear in the world than God's presence, we have a problem. I'm all for being in the world and knowing what's going on, but one, we're in the world, we're not of it. So if we can't know that who's with us is greater than who that's in the world, we're going to be in trouble. Praise breaks stuff. I'm depressed. Start praising. I don't know what to do. Start praising. During the week, you ought to just have praise breaks. Just set your watch. Lunchtime. I'm just going to spend some time in worship. I'm not talking about you got to put on a worship song and you got to listen to an 18-minute Bethel song. I'm not saying that. But posture your heart just to worship. You can be doing your work and worshiping. There have been times I've been doing stuff and my spirit's just going over and over stuff. I'm just doing stuff. What's up? Spirit, why? Because my spirit is engaged. That's what's most important. And guess what? My spirit is engaged. My mind changes. But it breaks. I can't get my kid to turn. Just start worshiping. I'm not saying they're going to turn tomorrow. But you know, it breaks stuff. There's tension right now. Praise. Don't eat. Praise. You understand what I'm saying? Because what we did, tension. Oh, I got to eat. I got to eat. All of a sudden, you're like 50. You're overweight. You're obese. What happened? I had a lot of tension. What are you doing? I'm just eating. All right. Hurricane weight. That was one day. Literally one day, and all of a sudden you're 10 pounds overweight. Toby, that sucks. I don't know, man. I started eating. I couldn't stop. It was just amazing. It was amazing what eating can do. And I'm like, man. Hey, listen, you don't understand what I'm saying. Obviously, no one's saying don't eat, but get to the point where you find out, man, I'm eating everything in sight. Number one, you're pregnant, you're stressed, or you're out of balance. You got to figure it out. Lord, I'm just eating too much. And you know when that is. Come on, you know when that is. You know when the balance is. You don't need it, but come on. Put it down. Thank you, Jesus. I don't need it. I don't need it. Thank you, Jesus. But come on now. We don't do it. Then we'll, I feel terrible. I don't know why God doesn't like me. He just hates me. Really? 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 Come on. It breaks stuff. It breaks addiction. It's a small example, but you can have someone pray for you and things break right there. And it's just because of the presence of God. Larry quit smoking because we prayed for him one Sunday at church. Still quit. How many years? 70 years. Came in here. He said, we're going to pray for him. Literally quit smoking. Smells better. Body looks better. Because he doesn't cough. He's not overweight. Things break. I'll always be like this. My dad had it. Break it. No, I'm sorry. I'm not having that. I'm always, no, break it. My mom was like that. Break it. Don't fall in love with your past, or don't fall in love with what you grew up with. You're not that person anymore. But the problem is that people still are tied into that. Because someone they loved had it, that means they have to have it. That's not biblical. There are things that are generational that have to be broken. And the only way that they're broken is that if you get aligned with the Lord and allow him to break it in your life, so things can change. I don't have to die that way. I'm not going to die. I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living because I know who I am and I know what God has called me to do. I'm going to do it. So that's why you ought to just refute people when they come up to you and say, man, you're just like your dad. Appreciate it, but nah. I may look like him, but I'm not him. Because people get defined by things that other people say, and they wear that. And they don't realize that they wear that. And they start doing the same things that their parents did, walking around the same mountains that their parents walk around. And God said, if you allow me to break that, I'll bring separation there so that you can walk in the plan and purpose that I have for you and actually do what I've called you to do. That is a lie from the enemy that says you got to be tied to who you grew up with. That's a lie. You can love them, but it's a lie. You don't have to live like them. And it's a lie. And if the enemy is whispering to you right now and saying, man, no, they're not going to like you, tough. See ya. Has nothing to do with respect, nothing to do with love. That's not your life anymore, man. We got to get to the root of stuff, okay? We got to get to the root of stuff. Enough of the surface stuff. Enough of it. I'm going to praise Jesus and things are going to break. I get that. But there is stuff that you are tied into that's got to go. You're addicted because of what you saw growing up and what you got hooked into. That's got to go. That's not God's plan for your life, okay? That's just not God's plan. Let's get down to it. Past all the surface stuff on that God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. He does, but let's get down to it. God wants to break some stuff off of your life. And are you man enough or woman enough to go there? So that you actually can be free and know how it feels to be free and not be thinking about someone or something else when you're in your relationship with God. You know how it is. You have other lovers sometimes. Besides God. We're trying to do a walk with God, have a relationship with God. We're thinking about what happened when we were 8. We're thinking about that relationship at 10 that was good, but it wasn't good. And all that stuff. And all the stuff, God said, I'm going to break that stuff off of you, man. When it all comes down to it, you're mine. And I have a plan for your life. But there are things that must be broken. It's quiet because you know. We walk around doing the same stuff all the time. Same stuff all the time. Well, yeah. We talk more about where we came from than where we're going. More about what happened than what God did. Your aim should be not to live the rest of your life on what happened, but what's going to happen. Because of how good God is. And there are people in this world, there are people who need to know the freedom that only comes in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. And to know that it's okay to say no to where you came from so that you can say yes to where God's taken you. It's okay. It's okay for things to be broken. It's okay for you to say no to that and yes to this. It's okay for you to disagree with that assessment, but agree with this one. It's okay for you to say, nah, but say yeah here. It's okay. It's okay. Some of y'all need to know that it's okay. We're not coming to dinner tonight. It's okay. It's okay. I'm not coming. No, I'm not doing that tonight. I'm not going to do that next week either. Maybe some other time. Okay. Be so free and secure that whatever happens in your life, it's okay. God's good. He's working it all out. And I'd rather be this than that. Because praise breaks. It breaks stuff. There's some familiar spirits and some familiarity that God wants to break. Familiar spirits are those spirits where there's something familiar that attracts you to that person. There's something there that they desire and there's something that you desire, and it's similar, and it gets you in trouble. So it's a spirit. Yeah. That's why when you're involved sexually with somebody, that it takes a while to get that unraveled. I'm not talking about when you're married. That's a different story. But when you're involved sexually with someone, it takes you a while to get that unraveled. Why? There's a familiarity that's there now. There's a soul tie that's there now. Now, you and I are one. We're not married, but we're one. Well, you decided to do it on the outside of God's blessing. Now there are going to be things. It doesn't mean that you're not one. You still are. Right? Because when the husband and the wife meet and they consummate the marriage, they become one. So whether you do it when you're married or do it outside, you're still one. That's why if you look at a lot of people, they got a chain of people they're carrying with them into the bedroom. Come on, I'm ready, honey. Hold on. I'm ready. And same thing. Break. It's got to break. And God can break it and redeem. Next one. It silences the enemy. You want to get him to be quiet? Worship Jesus. You have to stand on the truth because he can't stand on it. He's a liar. So the way you combat a liar is with the truth. That's one of the reasons why the enemy couldn't stay with Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus was too good. He knew who he was. But a lot of Christians don't. And so the enemy comes in and infuses truth and lie, and it's kind of a mesh. And it's similar to what he did in the garden with Adam and Eve. Did God say? And if you're not tied into the one, and you're not solid, and you're not strong enough, all of a sudden you can be in the question, I don't even know if he did say. I don't see anything about that in the Bible. And so we begin to question even some of those things. You don't think so? Just look at some of your friends. I don't even think that's as bad as you think it is, Richie. I mean, if they really wanted to get married, is that okay? I mean, did God really say you can have that? Did God really promise you that? And oftentimes that comes in the times of vulnerability. And if you don't catch it right, it'll work on you. And before you know it, Now you got a little lie mixed in with truth. And you're trying to serve God, but it's difficult to do it because you become conflicted. Because you're really not sure. And I'm not saying it's not okay to question. We all question. But if you're not careful, all of a sudden things start to look different and they start to look fuzzy when they should be clear. And you know what that looks like. Or you should. Some of you got some glasses, right? And you know when the glasses are like the right prescription and you put them on, oh my God, thank God I can see, right? You're like, I don't know what that pair was, but it ain't for me. And obviously you look it on, like, my God. Like my wife sometimes is like, try mom's glasses on. I cannot. They destroy. I cannot see anything on it. I like the way I look, right? I'm protecting my eyesight. Because if you're not careful, that can mess with this and how I see. And so I don't need you messing with my eyesight. I have enough issues trying to serve God and trying to lean on my own, not lean on my own understanding. I don't need your eyesight problems. That's why I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. So there are certain things I'll say no to because I know I'm just not doing it because I don't, that's not good for me. So you got to be strong enough and have enough self-worth. I say, I'm sorry, man. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I value myself and the Lord too much. I'm not doing it. I can't afford not to see. Because there's the enemy who sees me, and I have to be able to see where he's coming from so I can block him. If I know he's coming here, I can't be looking at you. I gotta be. My head's gotta be on a swivel. Your head should be on a swivel. Yep. One of the things that you begin to learn as you get older as a parent is you learn how to multitask. You have to. You got six things going on at one time. You're making dinner. The kids are running, skateboarding the house. You're trying to figure out the dogs, like, you know, pissing on the couch and trying to figure what's going on. Oh, so, you know, you're upset about something. You're trying to all the same time you do that. You're talking. You're doing this. You're folding the napkins. You're doing everything else. Trying to, yeah, I see what you're saying. No, we're not doing that. You got to learn to multitask. If you can't, you're not going to make it. You're just not going to make it. It's not like I do one thing, then I do another. That's not life. It's just not. You got to learn to multitask. And so, and throw into that mix is that your enemy's trying to go, he's doing the same thing. He's whispering to your kids, just go ahead and defile, you know, disobey him. Just look at it. You know, you're not around all the time. So you deal, your kids are on their own and you're whispering to your kids, I just tried. And you know, praying against that stuff. And that's taking place, you know, whispering to your spouse, just go ahead and leave them. All the stuff's taking place. So you got to know it's coming. It's all around you. So don't think, well, the Lord's just going to deal with me in stages. And one thing's going to happen at a time. That's not how it happens. Look at Job. Not how it happens. And after a little while, kids died. After a little while, all the cattle died. The house fell down. After a little while, after a little while, after a little while. You got to learn to help deal with things as they come in. And sometimes it's like things are just happening one time. Just deal with it. You got to learn to multitask if you're going to make it. You got to build strength in order to handle all of it. And that's the goodness of God. That's the ability that you have being in a relationship with God. He helps you deal with all that stuff. And when you're strong enough, you can silence the enemy when the enemy comes in and says you're not winning. You can say, oh, yeah, I am winning. Don't worry about it. I'm winning. I already know I'm winning. You don't got to tell me. I know I'm winning. Somebody asked me several weeks ago, you know, things were happening. A lot of things were happening at one time like normal. And I told you this story before. Some of you are not here. I'm going to tell you again. And so I was at my barber, and he asked me how I was doing. At the moment, if I were looking at the natural, it wasn't great. My spirit man says, I'm winning. Because there was something deeper going on. And I felt the Holy Spirit right there. Yeah, you are. You have to have faith that goes deeper than what's happening in your natural circumstances. And it silences the enemy when you can stand up in truth and say, I'm doing good. I know I have one eye out. I know I'm limping, but I'm doing good. I'm telling you something, man, greater is he that is in me. Because I'm realizing the strength that comes from being weak and who Jesus is. And you know what? This is a good fight. I like this one. You know why? It forced me to get involved a little bit. I'm nastier now. I told someone, are we having fun today? I'm having some fun. It's good. You don't want to have fun? Just whatever. So we were at a dinner table and we were talking to someone. You know how you have these conversations that are organic around your table? We're about to close. Don't worry about it. And we're having organic conversations about stuff. And we started talking about, you know, there are some things you don't want to know about me. You don't want to know. Because when pressed, you will see it. Don't. Because your kids think they know everything, right? And they have this assessment of who you are. But they say you as like daddy the hero and all that stuff now. There was a former life that daddy came from. And that life is still down in there when pressed. Just so you know, Jesus is good and he redeems. But there's stuff when pressed. And I will have a conversation. I felt like there are some things that I will not relent on if pressed. And it's saved or not saved is something I'm not going to relent on because it's just there. There are certain things that God is the same on. So when I look at it this way, there are certain things that if you press or touch my kids and push them in a wrong way, there are certain things that are going to come out of me that are not going to be good for you. Right? Correct? Amen. Correct. So there's certain, and the enemy, he's stupid because he thinks that, well, if I press them here, then they'll cave. There are certain things that God allows to stay there. Yes. Because you're going to need it when the time comes. That's why you got to know you're really saved. You got to know you're really saved because of that stuff. Because if I wasn't saved, I wouldn't be here. But God, that stuff's still in there. It's just, it's healed. But it's there because you're going to need to learn how to fight. And man, this is so good. Lord Jesus, today, you're going to have to learn some stuff about you and about God. And it only comes when you're in it. Only comes when you're in it. Push past all the superficial stuff. Push past all the praise Jesus, brother and sister. Push past all that stuff. When it comes down to it, you got to know how to fight, and you got to know how to scrap, and you got to know how to get what God has called you to get. You're going to have to know how to fight through some stuff and silence the voice of the enemy, because the enemy will tap into that and see if you really are who you say you are, if you really are. And sometimes he comes in, and just at the moment, I was in the car. I got to tell myself. I was in the car the other day. Stand up. Come on, man. Come on up. I was in the car the other day. And you know how you have these moments that come over you and say, I got this revelation of how far God has taken my family and what God has done. And you ask my wife. I was in the car driving and got a little bit manic. Just because of the goodness of God and what we've come through, and realizing how the enemy has not won and is not winning. And because of that, was able to exalt God in that circumstance, knowing all the stuff that God has taken me through while knowing me. I tell my kids all the time, it might be bad, but I tell them all the time, I say, guys, I'm not from around here. Y'all grew up here. I'm not from here. I'm not from here. I'm from the Northeast. It doesn't leave you. I came down here with like 10. It don't matter. It does not leave you. There is still stuff inside of me that I am still bound to the ring. Okay, you'll get it later. Okay? Of the Northeast. There's still that stuff that's there. The way I talk, when it comes out, I'm like, guys, you don't even, y'all nice. That doesn't play here. Doesn't play. So when you press the button, the wrong one, that guy comes out. Jesus is still there, but he's not there, kind of. But he's, you know what I'm saying? You press the wrong one, the other guy comes out. But it's a reminder that, Richie, I love you. I value you. That's how I made you. I didn't create you any other way. God loves you even in the midst of all that, all your deficits, all your crazy, all that stuff. God loves you. I didn't ask you to change, he said. I saved you and I demonstrated my love because while you were a sinner, I died for you. I didn't ask for you to change. I'll change you. I'll rearrange you. I'll do some stuff. But the essence of who you are, I'm not changing you. I like you. I like the way I made you. I like how crazy you are. I like what you do when you're pressed. I like that. I like how you get into scraps with the enemy. I made you that way. I made you a fighter. I wanted you to stand in truth. I wanted you to be who I've called you to be. I wanted you to take back what the enemy said that you couldn't take back. I wanted you to take his head off. I wanted you to be that guy. That guy. That's what I want to get to. I want you to stand in truth. I want you to declare my goodness. Exalt me. I want you to break stuff off people's lives. That's what I want. Yes. I want that guy. I don't want that guy who's hiding. That's the enemy's plan. You stay hidden and never come out because you don't want people to see the real you, or you're afraid. I want you to think how ridiculous. I want you to think about how ridiculous fear is. When you really look at it, after what God has brought you through, and after you exalt God, how ridiculous it is. How people are bound in it so bad that they can't walk in freedom. And the enemy is just working on them, because that's what he does. He works on you so that you won't come out. Better not come out. Better not take the mask off. Ooh, it might come back. Listen, better start dressing like someone else, because you're really not a man. Working on them. Can I talk about what we talked about today at a small level? Thank you. That's why in church, I'm not saying in this church, but in church, there's no way for you to hide. You might try it, but this is one thing about God, is that God is everywhere at the same time, and he's the same God that's on stage, the same God is back here. Your worshiping pushing you and says, get involved. Will you please get involved? No matter how you try to hide in the dark, or try to separate yourself, God's always looking. Always looking. Just pushing. Pushing. Just pushing it. You can try to hide, I'm pushing. Pushing you. Pushing you. I can't do it? No. Get it. Pushing. 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 This whole stage is a result of God pushing. 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 I don't know. Pushing. Fighting through, pushing. Come out of hiding. Come out of hiding. That's what he's calling right now to the earth. Come out of hiding. Sin, you can't stay hidden any longer. Expose yourself. Expose yourself. Wayward son, wayward daughter, come back home. Come back home. Israel, I still love you. I got you. Bride, I still have a plan for your life. Come away with me. Allow me to heal you, bind up your wounds, and set you on a high place. Come on, bride. Come on. Wherever you are, come on, bride. Come out of hiding. And when God calls you out of hiding, you got to come. I don't even know if I want to ask this in here, but I'm going to do it anyway. Eyes closed, eyes open, it doesn't matter. You feel like you're in a position right now where God's asked you to step out and do something, but you're finding comfort in your hiding places. And God's saying, I've had enough. And you know that God is pushing you out of those places. And you're struggling. And you say, hey, listen, will you pray for me so I actually could step out? And you kind of lift your hand and say, will you pray for me on that? I've already got one person I already know. I'm continuing to pray up here. Boom, boom, boom. I see you, man. I see you. God's got something for you. He's got something for you. Everyone in this room, Lord, is hiding in places that you haven't called them to hide. Thank you, Lord, that your spirit is pushing them out. They're becoming more aware of your presence and their need to be free. Their need to be free. Lord, I thank you that who the Son sets free is free indeed. That nothing that's happened in their past or their childhood is going to stop them from becoming all that God has called them to become. No divorce, no abandonment issue, no emotional miscue, no mishap is going to keep them in hiding the rest of their life. And I declare today they will come out of hiding, and God, that their latter days will be greater than their former, that there will be breakthrough in their life, that they will come out of those places that where there is no light, where there is no life, and that they will be the children of God that you call them to be, and that you will place them on the solid foundation of who you are, and that they will do the things you've called them to do, because greater is he that is in them than he that is in the world. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.